Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mdio Gavaza, and for today, we get into a conversation around, cloud computing and, some of the applications that are being driven through the cloud right now. As most people might or might not know, a lot of enterprise systems that we are dealing with on a daily basis are actually running through this nebulous thing that we call the cloud, which in essence is a bunch of data centers and computers that are all running and, running our different sets of computes, different workloads, and just making sure that our lives are put together. Even the AI that everyone is talking about right now is powered by the cloud and, most of the technologies that we interact with on a day-to-day basis. Joining us today is the team from Cloud 23, that is Ramakrishnan. He is the CEO of Cloud 23, and we're going to get a sense of what's going on in that particular business. Ram, greetings to you today.
Good morning, Madira.
Okay, so let's start with Cloud 23 itself before we venture deep into the world of cloud and what you guys are doing. Mm-hmm. From that point of view, I understand that a big part of your business is, Salesforce and, that type of thing. But, as the CEO of Cloud 23, give us the quick elevator pitch on Cloud 23.
Cool. Cloud 23, as you mentioned, it's Summit Salesforce partner, and we primarily focus on cloud computing and business transformation across the spectrum, from a single license user to all the way to 10,000, 20,000 users in a company. We are established in Joburg, Rosebank, but we do operate in quite a number of countries, 11 to be precise, in Africa. So we focus on financial services and its associated business processes. So that's primarily what we do, and that's Cloud 23.
Out of interest, what's your history or link to Cloud 23? We tend to talk to a lot of founders on this platform. We also tend to talk to seasoned executives. Maybe someone that's joined along the way. What's your link to Cloud 23?
Cool. I started Cloud 23,
yeah,
and pretty much I've been in the Salesforce ecosystem for nearly 10 years now.
Yeah,
been in the game with .NET, C#, JavaScript, and so on and so forth. Typically a technologist, if I can call it that. Cloud 23 is a brand that we formulated like 3 years ago to make sure that we enter into the market with slightly different perspective towards how people approach these big enterprise solutions. So that's me. So basically, I started it from scratch, if I can put it that way.
How did you first come upon Salesforce? And I just ask that because Mark Benioff and the story of Salesforce, it's not that long of a story, especially when you then compare it to some of the other Silicon Valley stalwarts. I'm thinking Apple, I'm thinking Microsoft. But it's more, if you're going to think of a Meta, mm-hmm. I think those two companies are about the same age, if I remember correctly. So what's your first exposure to Salesforce? And right now, whatever attracted you to Salesforce, is that still a driving, factor right now, as far as you can see?
100%, right? And just two parts of your comment to the question. So Salesforce, funny enough, started in 1999. Mm. And when Steve Jobs went live with his first iPhone, Mark Benioff actually gifted him the appstore.com domain. So Salesforce had the concept of Play Store or App Store back in the day, even when it was not a thing. So Salesforce has been evolving. And of course, like in the last 5 years or 8 years in South African context, we keep seeing it more often than what we used to be. So that's the Salesforce side of the world. And how I got introduced into Salesforce is it's a corridor chat. I used to work or consult with Barclays Absa back in the day. And I met one of our Salesforce enthusiasts, if I can call it. His name was Prashant Jain. He's still with Absa. So it was a chilled conversation in 180 Commissioner Street, Joburg CBD. And the person who introduced me, Che, told me, like, Ram, do you know you can actually develop without coding? It was actually funny because I'm a full stack person. And for me to hear someone saying you can transform a business without writing code was so funny. And I was just trying to test the waters and then met great people along the way. And that's how I started. So to your question, it's an accident. It's a conversation on the street in CBD. And that's what got me here.
I am an alumnus of Rhodes Business School, and on the first day of class, I remember the head of the business school, shout out to Professor Owen Skay, one of the things that he gave us as an introduction to the master's course at the time, he said, in business, there's a lot of skills that we can teach you, but every once in a while, whether we like it or not, it's just about being in the right place at the right time. Serendipity is, you know, plays a big part in the success of a lot of people. So I guess it's serendipitous that, you know, you were introduced to Salesforce the way that that you were. Keen to understand now, one of the reasons why I asked these questions just now to get a bit of background is that if you're saying that this is a business that's been around for 20, that Cloud 23 has been around for 3 years, right, then the ability to now be in 11 countries would at least indicate a high level of growth, right? So make us understand, you know, what the business looks like today.
Cool. That's a great question because Salesforce ecosystem is quite booming in South Africa and in the rest of Africa, especially on the talent side of it as equal as business side of it. So big enterprises are getting into this where they're realizing needing a system which can serve your customer's customer in a centralized place in a personalized fashion is much needed. And that's the reason why the enterprises are embarking into this journey where they're getting the best of the breed, world's number one CRM, to anchor the business processes within their companies. And with that comes your supply-demand problem where people are needed to implement it. Like there's no point in getting these big systems signed up or contracted, and if you don't have right people doing the right thing at the right time, it's going to be a fiasco, if I can call it that. So that supply demand, along with our expertise in the sense like we are plus or minus like 170 people as a team, and we operate, or the leadership, let me put it this way. So the middle management or the technical leadership comes from various banks. You can look at Citibank, Absa, Barclays, Standard Bank, some Capitec, and so on and so forth. So with that exposure is where we formulated our team, and that became our strength. So pretty much 80 to 90% of our projects that we do on a daily basis comes from historic experiences, and we don't really start from scratch. And that created a positive snowball effect, which attracted more clients more than going after them. And yeah, that's one of the fundamental reasons. It's like we kept doing repeated good work, and then it's positive word of mouth that caught us into this whole cycle.
Curious about a couple of things there. Firstly, when you talk about that 170, 175 number, when it comes to the people that are there, your points of presence in the 11 countries, are they fully fledged Cloud 23 points of presence, or are you sort of partnered in 11 countries?
So we haven't partnered with anyone in the 11 countries. So we work from Joburg. That's our headquarters. That's where we are, and Rosebank. So yeah, we work from here, and we, of course, we don't want to complicate the system as much as we can. So the whole plan is like make sure South Africa becomes the hub for IT outsourcing, like we have some of the pockets in Asia and Europe and the Western countries. And we see Joburg as one of the highly potent places where we can actually do that and service Africa. So yeah, to your question, it's one entity, and we don't really have any other partners as of date, and we would like to at some point.
Okay, because what I guess one of the things that I'm trying to gauge, or at least ascertain, is from Joburg and your points of presence in the 11 countries, is that a relationship that's happening remotely? Because
100%.
A lot of companies are able to service their clients in a remote sense, or do you actually have someone in country, whether it's a direct Cloud 23 person that can actually go and, you know, press the button on a server blade if need be.
No, 100%. That's where the whole cloud computing comes into the picture. Yeah. Right? So we are 100% cloud. We don't really even force our employees to come back to office. We are a remote workforce, hybrid, if I can call it that. Yes, to your point, we fly in, fly out for workshops, training, testing, and so on and so forth, where we need to meet people. And we work 100% remote, thanks to Salesforce, because none of that is on-premises.
Okay. And out of that, I'd love to know how much money you're making, but you can share what you are able to share, just to give us a sense, because our audience is finance-based. So whatever metrics you can share to give us a sense of what the growth is looking like, you know, for yourselves. We have a little bit of an idea now. 11 countries, you've got about 170 people on staff. You've got a strong root in financial services, and a lot of your talent has come out of that financial services sector. What else can you share with us around that?
So, yes, that's an interesting question, because with the way in which that we're currently operating is like we gave ourselves like the first 3 to 5 years is reinvestment, whatever we get as part of the team. So currently we are pushing anything and everything that we're getting into Cloud23, into the Salesforce ecosystems, to make sure that at some point we make a call to say, okay, we are ready to scale up double the amount of speed and so on and so forth. So I can put it roughly, top of my head, we are looking at like 100 plus million rand to 120 to 130 as a revenue to work with. And pretty much the plan is to do the same thing for the next 2 years and understand the market a bit better, grow the team into a point where we can actually scale across Africa more than taking it out or sucking it out from the team or from the Cloud23 brand as we speak or as we stand.
Right now, as far as you can see, because I'm just doing some quick maths in my head, it means that you guys are roughly, let's call it $6 to $8 million business.
Correct.
Right. What gets you, you know, to maybe a $20 or $50 million business? What gets you to break, you know, some of those barriers? Is it entering more countries? Is it simply signing more clients in the countries that you're existing in? Or is it about on-selling even more things in the stack that each client of yours is taking from you guys?
Cool. The client acquisition, maybe that's even more important, right? The client acquisition phase spans between 3 months to 24 months in our world. So someone who we are talking to now can turn out to be a client in 2026.
Yeah.
So that's the average time that we're looking at. And the short-term plan is to acquire more new logos in new regions. Net new logos is what we call. And work hand-in-hand with Salesforce.
Yeah.
Because Salesforce as a mothership cannot go in direction X, and then Cloud23 as a speedboat cannot go in direction Y. So that's the primary plan for now. And at the same time, answering to your question directly, it's adding more regions with more banks, because since we work in the financial services space, there's only a handful of banks and insurance companies and the likes as ancillary services that we can deal with in the country. So we do have higher ambition growing towards being the best of the breed banking services or financial services partner. And it is going to be achieved only by expansion in the region, if I can put it that. And Africa seems to be really promising. East Africa especially is highly valued by us as Cloud23 team, because of the way in which they're evolving, the point in which their technological roadmaps are as banks and insurance companies and so on and so forth. That's where we are seeing, and it's especially not to expand and cross-sell only within our current client base, because that's only going to get us so far because of the limited amount of potential clients that we can work with.
I'm going to come back to the relationship with Salesforce just now and your go-to-market strategy, and especially the client acquisition part just now. But I wanted to maybe come back to Salesforce itself as a platform, because Salesforce is a CRM, customer relationship management, software. And in the South African sense, you know, two of the big banks that have made noise about the fact that they use Salesforce, Standard Bank and Absa. You know, those are the ones that mm-hmm. come top of mind. I'm sure there are others, but those are the two that I can think of off the top of my head. When it comes to a platform like Salesforce, obviously you don't have to tell us the secrets of what mm-hmm. the banks are doing. But if I'm a typical bank, let's say I am, Mudiwa Bank, right? Mm-hmm. Mudiwa Financial mm-hmm. Services. What am I using Salesforce for, right? Maybe you could lead us into maybe understanding that bit, because I think sometimes people often hear Salesforce, mm-hmm. Salesforce, Salesforce, but you're not truly understanding what it is, you know, Salesforce actually does. And, you know, where the cloud piece comes in, where the insights piece comes in, all that mm-hmm. stuff. Yeah.
100%. That's a great question, because we all assume everyone knows what is Salesforce. So Salesforce is more of a platform or cloud computing platform, which has a CRM component in it. And that's the world's number one CRM, which is a blessing in disguise, because you can penetrate the market with CRM or with the platform on the other side. So with your question on what is possible, let me give you a story, right? So let's say for Mudiwa Bank, we start with the branding, personalization, and so on and so forth. Your website could be built in Salesforce Experience Cloud. Mudiwa Bank websites runs on the whole Experience Cloud layer, which is part of Salesforce. And the customers navigate, try to click on a button. Let's say Ram is a customer willing to get an overdraft facility from Mudiwa Bank. I go to the login button. I'm hesitant. Boom, boom, boom. We can heat map that site to say out of 1 million viewers, 80% actually goes to a point and drops off and so on and so forth with your interaction studio, which hooks the client in the database, for lack of a better way to put it. That point is where we can actually start knowing who you are as a customer. And in my example, Ram can go through an onboarding journey where I can take myself through the entire journey, do my KYC screening, get an account, apply for it, apply for the overdraft after getting a transactional account. I can go through my credit risk ratings, so on and so forth, finally get my account. On top of it, we actually went live with one of the banks in Uganda where you can actually fund the account then and there from Salesforce using a mobile wallet. MTN wallet or any other wallet in the region, we can actually fund the account and it becomes truly transactional. And all of this conventionally or traditionally have been a 45 minutes to 2 hours process, even if you're in front of the banker. And now it could be done in like 12 minutes to 15 minutes.
Oh, nice.
And at your ease, right? At your place, house, office, or whatever. And post that, you would be able to get to log into your portal. And it could be a mobile app, it could be a website, or so on and so forth, where you can talk to your relationship manager, create an incident to say, hey, I'm actually unhappy because my card is getting delayed to be delivered. Can you kindly assist? And that gets into a service piece, which is your typical CRM, right? Customer relationship management. That service piece gets addressed by a relationship manager. A banker gets to talk to you, so on and so forth. And when they talk to you, they can talk to you via SMS, WhatsApp. They can understand if you're an email person or a WhatsApp person and customize it a bit better. And hypothetically speaking, let's say in my example, Ram is a bank is a customer who got the overdraft facility, and now he is trying to upgrade it into a private banking facility on my personal capacity. I can again go through the same route and see all of my portfolio in one page. Work with that, where the bank can also be helping me in the whole journey, but it's truly self-service. And after that, my phone calls, WhatsApps, and everything could be integrated into the CRM. My bank accounts are listed, my investments are listed in a centralized place where the banker working for Mudiwa Bank looks at me as Ram as one single picture, which we call it as customer 360. And that customer 360 truly helps in servicing the customer and making sure that the highest value is provided. Either I could pick up the phone call, I could go to the branch, or I could send out an email at any given point in time when these interactions are coming in. Anyone who is addressing the interaction will be seeing my full picture, right? It's not going to be bits and pieces of here and there. And that being said, we are ideating or prototyping with one of our customers to integrate it even to the physical side of the world, which is if Ram gets into the branch, Can I pick up that Rama's working, walking into the branch with the cameras that we have? Because these are all highly efficient technology that we have within our buildings, and that could lead to a bit more of a niche use cases, and that gives a competitive advantage in the market. And that sort of highly personalized or hyper-personalized, we call, is going to be the game changer. And we can go all the way up to picking up the customer in the branch, sitting there. Oh, Rama's been sitting there for like 9.5 minutes, hypothetically, and he's our private customer. We need to do 1, 2, 3 better, or prioritize the queue to get him up front to say, like, can we fix 1, 2, 3 for you, and work with all the way to exiting the customer by integrating it to your boom gates. Because nowadays, Admit and all these apps are so predominant within our ecosystem. And the moment we integrate with that, we'd be able to pay for the customer while he's exiting. As a bank, we can also provide those services. So those are things that we could potentially do as a use case or a scenario. But to your question around Modibo Bank, be it investment bank, insurance, retail bank, or corporate bank, we will be able to do the workflows, the way in which we orchestrate integration to core banking, servicing, marketing, personalization, all of that in one place. And that is what we call as Salesforce. And sometimes it's a curse to call it a CRM, and the name also doesn't do a favor because it's called a Salesforce. And that's the way in which I see it working potentially. And it's really great to see some of our clients actually taking these journeys to make it extremely better than what we have. It's like, to put it in perspective, us going into Mall of Africa, walking out saying, hey, thank you for being a loyal Modibo Bank customer. We have taken care of your parking ticket. I think that would go so far. I think that's the way it can get Modibo.
Can I run core banking on Salesforce?
No, Salesforce is not a core banking system.
Okay, yeah.
And we usually partner with the equivalent core banking system, and we worked with your Finacles, Terminos, your Thought Machines, 10x, and so on and so forth. So we can work with any core banking system, but yeah, Salesforce itself is not a core banking system.
All right, there. Part of the reason why I was asking that is because, I guess, when you think about the old paradigm back in the day. And I don't work for any of these companies, so I'm not shy to name any of them. Back in the day, SAP was a big, you know, player in these spaces where you'd sign a big contract with SAP and you sort of want SAP to run your entire organization from the CRM, you know, to some of the core capabilities, you know, to people management, to access control, to, building control, to all of, you know, everything, you know, you're trying to run it. But nowadays it does seem as if we sort of, there was that monolithic era. We fragmented into a sort of multi-vendor, you know, type of paradigm. But it would seem as if we're sort of reconsolidating a little bit, where organizations want to just deal with as few vendors as possible, and they know that, okay, fine, I'm going to have Salesforce that's going to handle this piece, and then I'm going to have most of the rest of my applications running maybe on AWS, and then maybe I'll have just a third vendor just to do everything else. Am I understanding that situation correctly?
100%. It's just a matter of best of the breed solutions in their space. Core banking system, what are the criteria? Best of the breed could be your Thought Machines or 10x or whoever it is. CRM, Salesforce. Your ERP system, inventory management, definitely not Salesforce. Your finance ledger, your zeros and QuickBooks, that's not Salesforce. Salesforce is not supposed to do that. So it's just a matter of understanding the verticals like ERP, CRM, HCM, ledger management, and so on and so forth, and then picking the best of the breed solution. And also, the most exciting product for me, or two products in Salesforce, is Heroku and MuleSoft. Like, MuleSoft is the integration layer where it brings all of these tech and systems together. And the world is moving towards zero copy data access, which means, like, historically, we try to lift and shift data to do some processing. Or even reporting or analytics or whatever. But nowadays, we don't need to do that copying, because if you can imagine a bank having 20 million customers and trying to lift and shift their data. You're looking at terabytes and terabytes and terabytes of data. So that's what, to your question, it is the matter of coexisting best of the breed solutions in these different verticals and bringing it all together, maybe with an integration layer like MuleSoft.
All right. I'm going to ask you a question that I recently got an opportunity to ask the head of client experience. I think that's the title at Capitec. Because everyone is talking about AI, right? When it comes to, and funny enough, the question touches on what you were talking about earlier on about client journeys and gaining certain insights. You gave the example of, you know, me walking into the Mall of Africa as a bank client and then, you know, being able to have certain things taken care of you just by virtue of being a customer. From an AI point of view, artificial intelligence, how far are we from a world where we can sort of ring fence a bank's data, because that's where a lot of debate lies, right? You don't want your data pools to be, you know, to go out there. You ring fence a bank's data, and using that data, you can then provide dashboards that are either used by customer experience or maybe even, you know, bankers. Whether you're a teller or a private bank or something, you know, to you've got a customer in front of you or someone has called the bank and, you know, be able to quickly resolve an issue or give someone an appropriate response, knowing the full history, very quickly knowing exactly what's happened with this person without necessarily, because one of the most annoying things when you call a bank is having to narrate your story. Like, and you've probably told the story to five or six different people in the same institution, right? Quickly be able to understand what's happening, and the system, because it's generative, is able to say, you know, this is the client, these are what products they have with us, this is their profile right now, their income, all of that stuff, this is the profile, deal with what they're saying, because this thing is is picking up on the it's picking up on the call in real time and it's making suggestions. How far are we from that world?
We are using it.
Funny
enough, it's 2023 tech, if I can call it that.
Yeah.
So in Salesforce world, so we have we call the Sales GPT, Service GPT, and all of that. It's a way in which we safeguard data, to your earlier comment, because we don't want these big generative models to go and take RAM's swiping trend and teach its own model. You know, we don't want to give up our data, because that's the customer's IP, and also we have so much regulations in place to not to give up on our data. So hypothetically, this is how it works. So in Salesforce, we call it as trust layer, where the GPT models are isolated from our customer data, which means like they're not going to be training or learning based off our customer data or even any CRM data. And let's say when Ram interacts with Modiwa Bank and says, hey, I'm actually stuck with my card and I'm traveling in Kenya, Nairobi, and it's not going through. Basically, the agent will be able to say, okay, hold on, I'm just checking. Can you please summarize? Or maybe I could, if I was a smart client, I'd be like, I'm really terribly sorry. Hope you got your souvenirs and blah, 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 for 20-second chat, while I parallelly check, like, okay, what is the summary of this client? And Sales GPT or Service GPT will summarize exactly what you have gone through. And I will be able to prompt to Salesforce to say, get all of this in one picture. And the good thing about it is, like I earlier mentioned, like twice, like the trust layer doesn't really give up on our data to train. So basically, we mask the data to a service like a ChatGPT or something like that, and then generate this information without exposing PII information, personally identifiable information. And that is something that we're already using. And one of the most important thing that I'm looking forward for is like Dreamforce in the month of September, like this month. Oh yeah, we're already in September. So we have Dreamforce where there's a lot of buzz about the agent force. Like, how do we elevate even further what we have within the GPT or AI-driven service to a customer? So that's how it comes together. And for me, we have seen some of our clients using it already from early this year, and it is reality already. Some of our banks, the service call centers that we're using, they are using it already. So we're not here to start, or we're not here to talk about like, okay, this could be the reality in 2025. I've seen it in action where it's already there, and it even pulls your LinkedIn information, public information, to say, okay, this could be the best fit for the customer.
Mm.
And I'll just close off with one example, right? For example, let's say Ram is a director of Cloud 23 or whatever, and if my banker says, or if a new banker picks up my account, he could easily go into Salesforce to say, hey, can you summarize what is Ram as an account, and can you draft an introductory email? It will take all of my historic cases, historic CRM information into one big bubble. It also takes the public side of information like your LinkedIn and all of that in the second biggest bubble and says, okay, hey, Ram has been promoted as the director from so-and-so, and he's been in this for 6 months, and he has also searched for 123, and he has also visited our website for like 5 times. So potentially reach out to him for 123 as a reason for a coffee. And then as a customer, we'd be like, oh, wow, this is actually talking to my exact problem. I've seen it. I've experienced it like 2 weeks ago. And that's how interesting it can get.
Nice. And I love, you know, just to hear all of the different ways in which some of those use cases are developed. Understanding, of course, that by now it's all tech, because technology moves so quickly. But I think it's always great to let people know that some of the use cases, or some of the ways in which this technology that we hear about all the time is actually being used, you know, in a real sense, you know, to say that when you're calling a bank, there's probably an engine in the background that's running and, you know, giving this advice over there. Where I want to end off, Ram, is around your relationship with Salesforce. I think throughout this conversation, it's quite clear that you know Salesforce, you understand it, and you're quite passionate about Salesforce. Funny enough, I've actually done a little bit of work with Salesforce in the past. And whenever you talk to Salesforce people, I think Salesforce people and the people in the ecosystem are the ecosystem's biggest evangelists, you know. So, you know, talking to you, I'm having the same experience that I've had with a number of people around Salesforce once again. From that point of view, given your growth, is there any recognition from Salesforce just around the progress that you've been, you know, able to make, you know, in the last 3 years that you guys have been in business? And I think just the last curiosity was in terms of acquiring customers, because organizations like Salesforce tend not to do things directly themselves. Do they perhaps have talks with certain organizations and then say, actually, we have this partner, we have Cloud 23 that can help you with this exact, you know, type issue? Or do you, as Cloud 23, have to go out into the market and say, this is what we can do for you guys as a bank, as a financial services organization?
So, yeah, it's a bit of both, right? Starting with the second half of your question. So it's a bit of both, because the go-to-market strategy is leveraging off of partners' benefits. And we work quite closely with Salesforce leadership to understand the market, evolve, tweak it a bit, and make it work. Mm. And from my experience, Salesforce has always put their partner together with Salesforce in their entire go-to-market strategy. So that's one of the fundamental reasons why Salesforce partners can succeed more than any other enterprise software partners that I've seen in my ICT career. So that's how they reach out to the market, and we are super humble and happy about it. And on the way in which we, how do I put it, like we got recognized.
Yeah.
So the first year we had been awarded as a Rising Star Partner of the Year from Salesforce. That's something that motivated the team big time. And also last year we got an award called as Outstanding Partner of the Outstanding Knowledge Partner of the Year.
Mm.
So that is super interesting, because we pushed for like 100 people writing two exams in like a month or something like that.
Wow.
So pretty much we embarked on that learning journey quite extensively, and to close off the year with a recognition like that was quite impressive. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so Salesforce recognitions have been quite a bit of a boost on the entire journey for us so far.
All right. That's how we land today's conversation. It has been a great one, just understanding what's going on in the world of cloud computing, specifically as it pertains to Salesforce, understanding Cloud 23's journey and RAM's journey along the way, you know, understanding Salesforce and then deciding that this is something that they want to do. Business has done well. I think he said 3 years that they've been in business, and over that time, they're now in 11 countries. You've got a staff complement of about 170 people. We spoke about the fact that this is, roughly $6 to $8 million business. But Ram was just giving us some insight into what takes them, to break some of those milestones, the 10, the 20, the 50, million mark. And, how do they push forward? And he actually mentioned the fact that signing on more local partners is one of the ways that they are looking at doing things, and then also at the same time leveraging the name, that is Salesforce, and actually going into the market that way. And it was also great at the end getting some insight into how they go to market. And he said it's a little bit of both. They go out themselves as Cloud 23, but at the same time, you also have Salesforce, looking to promote the partners that they have in their own ecosystem, hence some of the awards and all of that stuff. Also understanding banking and understanding how Salesforce is actually used in banking. It was really great to understand, using the example of Mudiwa Bank, how banks are actually making use of some of this technology and the practicality around it, especially when it comes to gaining insights about who a customer is, what they need, and the type of products you as an organization can give to them so that you meet their needs, so that it's not a spray and pray approach, and that you can leverage the data. We often talk about, big data, about analytics, about AI, but I feel like today's conversation gives a lot of practicality into how all of that, is made use of, and the fact that Ram and his team have come out of financial services and have used it as their strength, especially in targeting your banks, your financial institutions. I heard a little bit around fintech, because you spoke about, mobile wallets and all of that stuff, and obviously your insurance companies. So that's been it. We were in conversation. Thank you so much to Ram Ramakrishnan, CEO of Cloud 23, for joining us here in studio. Ram, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Mudiwa. Thanks for having me here as well.